Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Section 503 Community of Practice for Employment Network Service Providers webinar. Today's topic is locating and engaging federal contractors and subcontractors. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the one followed by the four on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this webinar is being recorded Wednesday, September 10th, 2014. I would now like to turn the webinar over to Sally Rhodes, Ticket to Work Specialist. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Daryl. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the September Section 503 Community of Practice Forum. Again, today's topic is locating and engaging federal contractors and subcontractors. My name is Sally Rhodes. I'm a Ticket to Work Specialist, and I work with the Operations Support Manager for the Ticket to Work program. I am pleased to introduce my co-presenter today, Marie Strahan. Marie is an attorney by trade. She actually has worked 20 years at the Social Security Administration, retiring recently, and some of those years she spent working on the Ticket to Work program. During today's presentation, we will be referencing and visiting several websites. If you are in the listen-only mode, you are going to miss the value of the live searches that we are going to conduct. The PowerPoint presentation for today's COP is found in the information center on the Your Ticket to Work website. Click on Upcoming Events and look for the Section 503 COP listing for September the 10th to find the link to the PowerPoint. Please be patient with us during this presentation, as we are going to attempt to conduct several live searches. As a result, we will be moving back and forth between our PowerPoint to several websites. Since we are going to be using very large and active databases, it may take a little time to conduct each search. We are going to hold all questions and opportunities for audience participation to the end of the presentation. Consequently, you may want to jot down any questions that arise during the formal presentation and/or any ideas or tips that you might want to share with the audience on your ideas of how to promote Section 503. We will open the discussion up for audience participation after the formal presentation. Before we begin with today's topic, I want to do a quick overview of the key requirements of the changes to Section 503 of the Rehabilitation Act that took effect in March of this year. Section 503 prohibits federal contractors and subcontractors from discriminating in employment against individuals with disabilities. Under the revised 503 regulations, the affirmative action requirements apply to all federal contractors and subcontractors with $10,000 or more in awards. These are the general affirmative action requirements. In addition, federal contractors that have $50,000 or more in awards and 50 or more employees must prepare and maintain affirmative action programs. These federal contractors are required to undertake appropriate outreach and positive recruitment activities reasonably designed to effectively recruit qualified individuals with disabilities. Examples of such outreach and recruitment activities listed in the regulations include, but are not limited to, enlisting the assistance and support of groups such as American Job Centers, state vocational rehabilitation agencies, employment networks, and local disability organizations, the Department of Veterans Affairs, and disability student services offices at universities and community colleges. You can learn more about the new 503 requirements by visiting the Section 503 page on the Department of Labor's Office of Federal Contract Compliance website listed on this slide. You can also visit the Section 503 page on the Your Ticket to Work website. When you go on the Your Ticket to Work website, you want to go to the information center and look for Section 503 in the left navigation. You will also find 503 information in the information center under Events Archive. I have listened to a number of 503 webinars and training sessions in the last 8 months. During the question-and-answer sessions of almost every presentation, somebody always asks, "Where can I find information on organizations that are federal contractors and subcontractors?" The answer is always that there is no specific place to find this information. While staff at the Ticket to Work Operations Support Manager agree that there is no one source of this information and there is no website designed specifically for this purpose, we have identified several websites that Ticket to Work service providers can use to identify organizations that are federal contractors and subcontractors. Using a tool for something other than its stated purpose is something we all do. We have all repurposed or jerry-rigged something to make it work for other tasks at some time in our lives. People often use a shoe as a hammer, glass jars to store nails and screws, and pillows as weapons in a pillow fight. The objective of today's training is to introduce three websites where organizations awarded funding by the federal government are cataloged for specific business and administrative purposes. We will explain how these websites can be used to locate and learn about the work of federal contractors and subcontractors and conduct sample searches on each website. Since identifying federal contractors is only the first step in helping Social Security disability beneficiaries to access employment opportunities with federal contractors, we will provide tips on what to do after identifying a few federal contractors for targeted outreach efforts for Section 503 employment purposes. What we are suggesting in this presentation is that the websites we are going to explore can be good sources of information on federal contractors. You need to remember that each website has its own specific purpose, and we are going to take the information we find on each website and repurpose it to develop a strategic plan to assist your ticket customers to take advantage of recent changes to Section 503. I also want to point out that these websites, being in addition to being very large databases, they are updated constantly. And at this time of year, the updating activity is at an all-time high because of federal contracts being let at this time of year. So when you do a search on any of these websites, you're going to probably want to print or certainly make good notes on the information that come up, because if you do the same search the next day, you may have a hard time finding that exact same federal contractor. Now I'm going to turn it over to Marie to provide some information on federal contractor employment opportunities and to do our first live search. Marie?
Thank you, Sally. Hello, everyone. I want to start by saying that the employment opportunities available through federal contracting is significant. In August of 2013, approximately 22%, or an estimated 34 million workers in our nation, were employed by over 200,000 federal contractors and subcontractor companies. While these numbers have probably dropped a little in the past year due to cuts in federal spending, it is still estimated that 2.7% of all private sector jobs are directly funded by federal contracts. When the Department of Labor published the Section 503 revised regulation, it estimated that federal contractors would need to hire an additional 594,580 individuals with disabilities to meet the new 7% utilization goal established in the 503 regs. I want to start us out in this search by looking at three websites maintained by the federal government as data banks on organizations conducting work for the federal government. These are administrative websites. Now, we have a slide that shows the links to the three federal searchable websites that we're going to cover today. For those of you who are not on GatherPlace, you may want to jot these websites down so that you can follow along with the live searches we are going to conduct. The first is the Federal Procurement Data System. It's located at www.fpdsgov/fpdsng_cms/index.index.php/en/. The next website is the System for Awards Management. The website address for that system is https://www.sam.gov. The third website we're going to cover is USA Spending. It's www.usaspending.gov/. Okay, so we're going to begin with the Federal Procurement Data System. The FPDS is the central repository for all federal contractor data. The purpose of FPDS is to provide up-to-date information and ongoing reports on federal contracts whose estimated value is $3,000 or more. Every modification to an organization's contract, regardless of the dollar value of the contract, must be reported to FPDS. Information on grants and cooperative agreements awarded by the federal government are not reported to FPDS. Again, information on grants and cooperative agreements are not reported in the FPDS. In addition to federal procurement reports, the website also provides a list of the top 100 contractors by fiscal year and a small business contracting report. FPDS is probably the most highly searchable database for basic information on all federal contractors. ENs can use this website to identify local and regional companies for potential employers that have contracts with the federal government. Once identified, the EN would need to visit the company's website to find information on job openings. When you visit the website for FPDS, it is advisable to spend a few minutes reviewing the successful search techniques section prior to using the system. Okay, now we are going to conduct a few live searches on the FPDS system. Our goal here is to show that searches can require multiple attempts and a hint of creativity. For example, you may want to try and use 3 or 4 descriptor words for the same type of job, or you may want to try to reduce or expand your search by location and with other types of filters offered on the website. There are many, many variables, and you need to be willing to spend some time playing with this search engine. Remember, it is a very large and highly active database, and it changes from day to day and sometimes from hour to hour because of constant and ongoing data input by over 60 federal agencies and literally for hundreds of federal contracts, actually 200,000 federal contracts. Let's start with a couple examples of state-only searches. The state-only searches work best when you have a sparsely populated or rural area with only a few federal contractors. But many of these states have military bases with a fair amount of opportunity for federal contracting. These searches do not work for states like Florida, New York, California, Illinois, and states with a concentration of federal agencies like Maryland or Virginia. So, let's begin with just a couple of keywords. Let's plug in to the search engine. Can we go to the search engine?
We're there.
Okay, great. And let's plug in Tennessee, 2014. I think you have to put it, yeah.
Yep.
There we go. Okay, if you'll notice right at the top of the page, it says results page. You'll notice that there are 8 pages of results. Now, if you go to the right column and you click on action obligation dollar sign. That will help us to get to the higher dollar figure contractors. Let's look at the first contractor that pulls up, Athena Pharma Solutions. In order to get more information on that contract than what we see right here, we would go to the award ID number and click on view. But first let's look, okay, go ahead. That's good. First let's look at the action obligation amount. Can you point to that for us, Sally? It's $1,857,454. So that clearly meets the requirements of Section 503 of over 50,000. Now let's go to view. Go up back to the award ID and click on view, over to the right, correct. Okay. Now you see a lot more information about this particular contract. We see that the contracting office agency name is the Centers for Disease Control at the Department of Health and Human Services. If you scroll down on this data page for this particular contract, you will see the date signed, the effective, the completion date, the information on the contractor address and phone numbers, and let's see what else we have here, and the congressional district, sometimes that's important. All the information about this contractor, including location and contact data, and the type of work that the contractor does is on this particular data sheet. All right, let's try another one. Let's go back to the search page and let's go to another rural state, Nebraska, and type in 2014.
Can you see it, Marie?
Yes, I can. Okay, so now let's go to action obligation, the money sign, over on the right-hand column. Okay, and we have a $2 million contract up here at the very top of the page. But I'm going to point something out to you here. We're not going to go into the larger file. But if you notice, this is a Nebraska company. Okay, and the vendor city is St. Paul, Minnesota. The contracting office is in Omaha, Nebraska. So you do have to read these very, very carefully. Read through the contractor information and look at the location of the company, but also remember to look at the place of performance of the work. It may be, you know, a Nebraska company that's doing federal contracting work in Texas, in which case you're probably not want to contact, you're not going to want to contact that company. Okay, now another option is to search by product or service and then by location, typically by the name of the state. This works best in highly populated states or in areas with a lot of federal agency presence. For example, let's look at a search for landscaping. Let's type in landscaping, comma, Maryland, MD, comma, 2014. And then let's go down and refine that search by action obligation again. We always want to pay attention to the amount of the contract. Okay, so we have the very first, let's just go to the very first one on the list, Global Engineering Solutions, Inc. They work for the National Institutes of Health. The action obligation is $195,499, clearly over the $50,000 requirement. And they work in general landscaping, interior layout, and design. They are located in Rockville, Maryland. And if we clicked on the award ID view section, we would find out more information about the type of work and the full amount and the numbers of years in the contract. As you can see, the contract was signed in 2013. The completion date is not until 2015. The total contract amount, again, is $195,499. And below that information, you'll see the address and location and phone number of the company. It looks like you see socioeconomic data. If you'll notice, it's a minority-owned business and a woman-owned business. They are for-profit, so they're a company, for-profit company, and they're SBA certified. So you can get all kinds of information. You can also see that the company's annual revenue is $2.8 million, so it's a pretty sizable company. All right. Now let's look at one more. Let's go to food service in California, another big state. See what we get. 2014. You always want to go by date because this goes back to the early 90s. The database. No results found.
And this is interesting because in another time when Marie and I were doing this, contracts came up here.
Can we do food service all one word?
Try that. Okay. Nope.
How about food? I know there's a lot of food being served out there on this California military bases. Go. Nope.
Why don't you try, let's try 2013 and see if it's possible that they have an extended contract or something.
Yeah, or just leave off the date altogether.
Leave off the date. That's a good idea.
Okay. And then you will see maybe multi-year contractors.
There you go.
Yeah. So you really do have to play with the search engine a little bit. Now, if you go down to... if you go down the right column, the column where you can refine the search, you can sort by, if you see, you can sort by date signed. You see that? It's about five down, Sally. Go down the date signed. Okay. So, even though we had 2014 in there, here we have a date signed contract for $14,000 for July 9th, 2014. Now let's go and go by action obligation because that $14,000 contract is not going to meet our $50,000 requirement under 503. Aha. This one was signed in October 2012, $5,247,000 for a service. Let's go up and look at view. Let's find out a little bit more about this contractor. Let's look at, click on the view button. Aha! Date signed, 10-2012. The contract will not be completed until 12-2014. It's a contract... total amount of $8,819,000. If you scroll down, the contracting office agency name is the Forest Service, and I believe this feeds the firefighters. the National Interagency Fire Center. It's Blagg, the name of the company is Blagg's Food Service. They're located in Bella Vista, California, and there's their phone numbers. Their annual revenue is over $10 million. So this is a big company. Potential, a lot of potential opportunities for employment. Okay. Again, I want to stress that FPDS is a highly searchable database. Don't be afraid to get creative. Do a lot of scrolling. Refine the searches by agency, by location, by action obligation amount, etc. You really need to do a little bit of playing around and be creative with this. Now I'm going to turn it back to Sally, and I think she's going to do a live search for us on the SAM website.
Thank you, Marie. That was very interesting. I do want to say one thing before I talk about SAM, though, is that if you go to the Ticket to Work website and you go to the section, the Information Center and the Section 503 page, when you click on Section 503 and you look at the information on finding federal contractors, you will actually find a step-by-step guide to locating federal contractors on the Federal Procurement Data System. So in addition to this webinar and PowerPoint, you can use that as a resource too when you're looking at this at the Federal Procurement Data System. All right, so a second source of information on federal contractors is the System for Awards Management, or SAM. It is used as a primary information source by federal agencies and federal contracting officials. The information in SAM is a combination of information from two other federal procurement databases, the Federal Procurement System and the Catalog of Federal Domestic Assistance. Federal contractors must register when doing business with the federal government. One of the differences here is that it's not just federal contractors that are listed here. You should all be familiar with SAM, as your organization had to register in the SAM as a requirement of the EN request for quotation, and that registration must be there for you to get your blanket purchase agreement. Registration in SAM is quick and easy. Updates to an organization's SAM registration are made at a minimum once a year, and more often if changes occur in the organization's name, address, contact information, and most importantly for ENs, banking information. What is important for the purpose of today's presentation is the fact that all federal contractors must register in the SAM and update their information regularly. With the same information being available on all federal contractors registered in the SAM, the Ticket to Work Service Provider Network can use this database to perform simple searches to identify organizations receiving federal funding and or to determine if a particular company that you want to check into is receiving federal funding. To conduct a search on SAM, you're going to go to the SAM website, which we've already told you is www.sam.gov. That'll get you there. And click on Search Records. Let's go to the website so as we go through this. Okay. So on the SAM website, you go to Search Records, click on that. And then what you want to do when it comes up, has it come up yet?
Yeah.
Give it a minute. You're going to want to click on Advanced Search Entity. And you're going to want to make sure the active registration is checked. See that it is checked. You only want to have active registrations. And I would advise that you also check registrations with delinquent, no for registrations with delinquent federal debt. That's just my advice. You may want to deal with companies that have federal debt, but I think I would eliminate those. If you are researching a particular business, to see if it's a federal contractor, you want to click on Entity and enter the name of the business and the DUNS number. So let's do a quick search here. Let's enter Maximus Federal Services, Inc. Wait a minute. Look it right there. Uh-oh. There it is. Now, some of you may know the DUNS number of organizations, but I'm just putting in a name so that, all right, and then go up to the search, and let's see if Maximus is a federal contractor. There you go. So you do know then that Maximus is a federal contractor. All right, let's go back. In most cases, you're probably just looking for organizations. You're trying to identify organizations that are federal contractors instead of researching a particular one. So if you're not looking for information on a particular business, you want to start by clicking on entity type to narrow your search to a particular type of business. Click on it, and you'll see here, entity type, okay? And you'll see here there's a bunch of options under entity type, federal government, other government entities, local government, other types of entities, educational institutions. You have all of those options for narrowing your search. All right, let's go back and unclick that, all right? And let's click on location. You would click on that to identify organizations in a specific city. You have the option here of entering a city, a state, a congressional district, and or a zip code. All right. Now let's click on socioeconomic status, which is another option for narrowing your search. And this is where you would be able to narrow it to minority-owned businesses, veteran-owned businesses, and woman-owned businesses. All right. If you want to limit your search to small businesses, you want to click on products and services. And you'll see there's two codes here to choose from, NAICS and PSC. These codes are defined in the SAM User's Guide, and you can go up here if you want to see the definitions of all the terms in the SAM User's Guide. You saw where that was clicked on, okay? Go back. All right. So, and you want to make sure you saw where that is. The results of the search will only provide you with limited information in this case. It's not going to provide you with as much information as you got from the federal procurement data system, but if you do see an organization that looks interesting, you will probably want to visit their website to learn more about that particular company. Of particular interest in the SAM website is the fact that the search results can be saved as a PDF file, exported to an Excel spreadsheet, or printed. So let's do a live search on SAM now, okay? Let's go to entity type. Entity type, okay, and put in and check, in this case, hospital. Hospital. And we're also going to narrow it down to manufacturer of goods under other types. And let's go for for-profit. So we use three criteria here. All right, now going down to location, and let's do Oklahoma City. And then put the state, Oklahoma. It's a drop-down menu for the state. Oklahoma. And then go back to the top and hit search. And let's see what we come up with. Okay. Well, let's look at the first one. You've got the name of the organization, Temple & Son Funeral Home. Okay. What you can do here is you can click on view details to learn more about the organization. And when you get here, you will see some basic information. You can go into the entity record and learn more about this. What I want to do on the entity record, though, I want to look under reps and certifications. When you registered in SAM, you had to do representations and certifications, and there is a particular one that has to do with affirmative action compliance. And as this comes up, and this, when you do the reps and certs, it takes a little while because it's a big document. Is it coming up? Let's see. And the one that you're going to want to look at when the reps and certs comes up is FAR 52.222-25. That is the indication of affirmative action compliance. It is very slow in pulling this up today. Okay, maybe we should go back and pick the second one in the list. Okay, there it is. All right, now scroll way down. 522-252. Oh, there it is. Click on. Now you want to click on this. And you'll see a box comes up. And if they have done an affirmative action plan program, and remember if they make $50,000 or more in awards and 50 or more employees, they have to have an affirmative action program. This particular organization does not have that clicked. So it either means that they have not had that large a contract, a large enough contract in the past to have a program, or they're in that kind of waiting period for the, under the new regulations. They are allowed to wait until their next affirmative action plan would be due. So I would say this is not one that I would probably want to look at because I don't see any indication of affirmative action. All right, let's go back.
And Sally, isn't it also that they may not have enough employees?
That could be it, yes. It could be a smaller organization with a sizable contract, yes. Thank you, Marie. Okay, and then, well, let's do another one. Let's pick this time education institution under entity type. Okay, and I'm going to do just the generic all education institutions. All right, then go down to location. Let's do Colorado. And then go back and do search. And you'll see a number of educational institutions came up. And again, you can, let's do the view details. I want to show you something else. Now, where you have here core data, click on core data under entity record. Okay, that's the core data. Go under the POCs, click on point of contact. This is where you're going to get information. Now, this is not necessarily the point of contact you're going to want, but this is a point of contact at the organization. And you will, like government business POC here, the second one listed. If you don't have the name of the affirmative action officer or the human resources person, you can probably call this point of contact and ask for that information. Okay, go back. You can also, let's click on assertions, see what comes up there. All right, there doesn't have anything there. There are records here. Look at the service contract report under services. What I want you to do is click around and learn what's here. I want you to note that I cannot access some of these reports because I am not registered in SAM. As a SAM registrant, you should be able to access some of these reports and get a lot more information than I'm able to get. Okay? All right, so those are some ideas. Again, SAM provides you some basic information. To me, not nearly as much information as the Federal Procurement Data System, but it can give you an indicator of some organizations that you might want to do further research on. And probably what you're going to have to do is go to their website for the business and find information there. Now I'm going to turn it back over to Marie to conduct a search on USA spending. Marie?
Thank you, Sally. You know, I do want to point out that I skipped a search on FPDS. You can search by organization. And if you have the PowerPoint, you will see that we were going to search by military installation. Many of you, even in rural states, you know where the military is located in your state. So if you search by the military installation, we had an example of Fort Meade, you will pull up all the contracts with the military installation in your state. Okay, let's go to USA spending. I wanted to make sure and not miss that search by contractor or location entity. Okay, the Federal Funding Accountability and Transparency Act of 2006 required that the Office of Management and Budget establish a single searchable website accessible to the public at no cost, which includes for each federal award the name and entity receiving the award, the amount of the award, information on the award, including the transaction type and the funding agency, the location of the entity receiving the award, and a unique identifier of the entity receiving the award. The USA Spending website is promoted as a public information source for identifying government spending at your fingertips. And I want to distinguish here between the USA Spending versus SAM versus FPDS. FPDS is maintained by the federal government as an administrative information site. SAM, of course, is primarily for contractors to register with the federal government for all sorts of other kinds of administrative reasons. USA Spending is a public information site and really has a lot more to do with transparency in government than it does with administrative requirements. Our interest in USA Spending is for Section 503, and it's only for contractors. The USA Spending serves as a repository for data on all different types of contracts, grants, loans, and other spending mechanisms. USA Spending is best known for information on the trends associated with federal spending by state, county, and congressional districts. With regard to federal contracts, you go to the next slide. The USA Spending website houses information on new contracts over $20 million, new contracts with a prime contract value greater than $550,000, new contracts with a prime contract value of $25,000 or more, and subcontracts of federal contracts where the subcontracts are $25,000 or more. Note that there are three options for searches on USA Spending. You can conduct a general search, an advanced search by prime award, and an advanced search by subaward. Prime award contractors are those receiving funds directly from the federal government, and subaward contractors are those that receive federal funds through a subcontract with a prime contractor. Remember, the Section 503 requirements apply to both contractors and subcontractors. The USA Spending website is designed to allow users to use a wide variety of criteria to refine a search. It provides a number of search options, which include location, spending type, by recipient, by department or agency providing the funding, by fiscal year, by place of performance, either by zip code, state, or congressional district, or even county, and recipient location, by city, zip code, state, congressional district, or county. The results from a USA Spending search includes information on the recipient's, contractor's, or grantee's name, the federal agency or department providing the funding, the product or service associated with the contract, a description of the purpose of the contract, the date the contract was signed, and the obligation amount. Employment networks may want to apply their own screening criteria to the results of a search. For example, it may make sense to screen out contracts signed more than 3 years ago and contracts with small obligations amounts. Now, let's try to conduct a live search on USA Spending. We're going to do a general search by state. So let's go to Arizona. We'll type Arizona into the general search criteria box.
Okay.
Now, what should happen, click search.
I will tell you, the computer is moving slow, and a few minutes ago when we lost track, the computer actually froze on us. So,
oh, no.
It may be overwhelmed by all of this moving around. Okay, here we are. All right, we've got Arizona for you.
So when you do a search, when you type in your state, you will it will bring up the U.S. map, and then you'll see more information over on the right-hand side in terms of the number of contracts in the state of Arizona. Apparently, there are 482,778 contracts in the state of Arizona. So let's look at contracts only. We're going to click on contracts only. Then we're going to go down. You got to scroll down that column on the right and go to contracts in fiscal year 2014. You have to go way down. Again, we're repurposing these websites. So by fiscal year, try and find 2014. What it's giving us is a numerical listing.
And note that we had to hit the more fewer because 2014, is the years are not in numerical order.
Exactly.
Okay.
You have to keep playing with these websites. They're huge repositories of data. Okay, did we find 2014? Yes, we did. Yes?
Yes, we did.
Okay, great. And then let's try, let's go over and look at food again by product or service code. That's in the first part of the list. So let's go to an easy part of the list. By food, cooking, baking. I know there are lots of military bases in Arizona, too. Okay, so what we get there, 542 contracts.
Okay,
now let's begin to look at what we've got here. Okay, we've got a company by the name of Gill Group, and it looks like Gill Group has a lot of work with the Department of Defense. They are located in Phoenix, Arizona. It looks like they do food equipment. And if you click on the PIID MOD number at the top, yes, thank you, that will give you more information about this particular contract. Again, it looks like Gill Group has a number of contracts, but so we see that $983,359 has been obligated in this contract by the Department of Defense. It's a Defense Logistics Agency contract. The date signed is March of 2014. It's a purchase order. Scroll on down. Let's see if we can find a place of performance. Gill Group is where... is Arizona. That's the location of the company. The product or service, is food cooking, baking, and serving equipment. Let's see. And it looks like this is a manufacturing company located in Phoenix and providing this type of equipment to the Department of Defense. The other thing that I wanted to point out is that you can take information from either SAM or the USA Spending site and plug it into the Federal Procurement Data System site to get even more information on each of these search results. You can cross-reference these three different federal websites to dig up more information. You'll find different information on all three of them, but as you know, the more you have, the more information you have on a company, the better your chances of success of engaging that company and working with them to hire beneficiaries our beneficiaries with disabilities. Okay, Sally, I'm going to turn it over to you again.
Okay, and I want to point out once again that on the Ticket to Work website, there is a user's guide to locating federal contractors on usaspending.gov. It's also on the 503 page in the Information Center. And again, you're going to look under the information when you click on 503, the 503 page, you'll see a section that talked about finding federal contractors, and you will see these resources in that section. Okay? Now let's talk about some next steps. Identifying federal contractors of interest in your geographic area is really only the first step in assisting your ticket customers to take advantage of the changes to Section 503. We're going to spend the remaining time discussing the next steps in an effective 503 strategy. What I'm going to do is highlight today. It's really going to be a wrap-up review of what your EN peers have discussed during previous 503 Community of Practice forums. We encourage you to revisit the archives of the May 7th and July 9th Community of Practice forums, during which your EN peers provided tips and tools for establishing successful employer identification and referral relationships. The webinar archives and resource materials are located on the Your Ticket to Work website. Again, visit the Information Center. And then in this case, you want to click on Events Archive in the left navigation, and then click on 503 Community of Practice, and the archives of all of the Community of Practice forums will come up. The information from this one hopefully will be posted by next week. Using the information you gather on federal contractors and subcontractors serving your geographic area, you want to use this information to narrow your list down. You don't want to try to approach too many. Most likely, you will want to review each contractor's website, their own websites now, to get additional information such as the size and the age of the company, the number of employees, the kind of work the company does, the types of skilled and unskilled labor required to do the work, the minimum qualifications associated with each job category, etc. Look for any information on the organization's application process. For example, are job seekers required to apply online? Does the company require any type of testing, such as skills testing, drug testing, security clearances, etc.? You want to continue to narrow your list until you have selected a few key federal contractors and or subcontractors that offer job opportunities that from your research you feel are in line with the skills, ability, and interest of your ticket customers. Create a file on each company selected for your targeted outreach efforts. Make sure you include information on key contacts at the organization, such as the human resources manager, the affirmative action officer, or the diversity officer. Again, the point of contact you might get on one of these websites may not be that person, but you can certainly call that person and ask for the name of these key contacts. It may also be helpful to develop an introductory email, letter, flyer, or brochure that can be used when you're requesting meetings with the key contacts at these agencies. Develop a 3 to 5 minute marketing pitch that briefly describes your organization, who you serve, the services you offer as an EN under the Ticket to Work program, and the value of those services to prospective employers. For example, you may want to stress the fact that the individuals with disabilities that your EN serves and the companies that employ them have access to the support when initially starting a job and ongoing support as needed to ensure that the placement results in long-term employment success. Be sure to mention any special services or resources your EN offers, such as expertise on job accommodations, benefits counseling, etc. As you develop your introductory letter and comments, you may find it helpful to review the new awesome resource titled Tips for Discussing Section 503 with Federal Contractors. This resource is located, again, in the Information Center. Click on the Section 503 in the left navigation, and then click on the Tips resource, which is under Finding Federal Contractors. Now you're ready to start contracting the human resources managers, affirmative action officers, or diversity officers at the companies you have selected for your targeted marketing efforts. Remember, every company is organized different, and the person that you want to talk to may have a different title. When you call, provide a brief explanation of who you are and request a date and time for an in-person meeting. If an in-person meeting is not an option, ask for a meeting by phone at a time that is convenient to the person being contacted. You don't want to try to have the discussion right then. You want them to actually set some time aside for this discussion. Regardless of whether you secure a face-to-face meeting or agree to a phone conversation, offer to send your 503 marketing materials prior to the meeting or call. If your EN has a great public website and a good online presence, you may want to invite your contacts to visit your website to learn more about your organization and its past history in serving individuals with disabilities. During your meeting, be prepared to respond to any questions that may arise from the review of your website. Be aware that some federal contractors will already be working with one or more organizations that provide them with access to a pool of job seekers with disabilities. If you are informed of an existing referral relationship with organizations such as the state VR agency, the state or local workforce agency, or other local service providers, some ENs have found it useful to simply shift their marketing focus from the contractor to the primary placement liaisons working with these contractors. Prior to each meeting, you want to review all the information you have on file for that business. If you have not already done so, this would be a good time to review the resource titled The Tips for Discussing Section 503 with Federal Contractors. You may also want to develop a list of questions to ask to clarify anything that might help you make your case and be prepared to offer thoughtful suggestions on how your EN can work with this particular employer to help it meet its Section 503 obligations. During the meeting, if you can, cite specific facts about the company to let that contractor know that you've done your homework. Highlight any features of the company that positively support the idea of your EN and the employer working together. Be prepared to discuss the basic requirements of Section 503 and how your organization can assist the organization as a federal contractor to meet its 503 obligations. If there is additional information that you need that was not available on the employer's website, you'll want to prepare a list of questions to ask. For example, are there any special requirements associated with applying for the job? If you didn't find out on the website, if they have to apply online, if they have skills testing, if they require medical exams or security clearance or drug testing, this is when you're going to want to ask questions and get that information. These questions can help to make this meeting an exchange of information rather than a one-sided conversation. During the meeting, briefly explain what you do and the population your EN serves. Describe the mutual benefit of a partnership between your EN and the employer. Note that Social Security disability beneficiaries represent an untapped pool of qualified job applicants. You can stress the fact that your organization pre-screens job seekers to ensure that only those that are most qualified are referred for openings. Note that as an EN, your organization stays involved with the beneficiaries you place to ensure long-term employment success. Explain that your organization is required to maintain contact with beneficiaries you place for the purpose of identifying and resolving any problems that might arise. Note that as an employment network under the Ticket to Work program, your organization is required to initiate contact with employed beneficiaries at a minimum on a quarterly basis, and that the ongoing availability of post-employment support ensures that additional assistance is available if needed. And finally, offer suggestions on how your organization and the federal contractor can work together to meet the employer's 503 obligations. EN's active in 503 recruitment activities have identified the following ideas for partnering with federal contractors. Discuss the possibility of establishing agreed-upon process for sending and receiving information on job openings to ensure that your EN has quick access to information on job opportunities with the employer. For example, you might ask the employer if they would send you a list of all job openings every Monday. Agree on a process for referring candidates who may or may not choose to disclose a disability prior to hire. determine if and how you will post job opportunities or share information on job opportunities with your ticket customers. Since the goal is really to refer qualified candidates, it is important to screen applicants before referring them for job openings. As a result, it may not be a good idea to simply blast out information on specific job openings with federal contractors to all your ticket customers. There will be times when your ticket customers simply do not qualify for a position that is listed with a federal contractor that you're working with. In those cases, you may want to explore ways to recruit qualified beneficiaries that are not currently working with your EN to fill those positions. Some ENs have identified the following methods as useful tools in matching federal contractor opening positions with qualified Social Security beneficiaries. Use your EN's website to advertise the availability of certain types of job openings and to screen potential applicants by having them complete interest forms. This is not saying we have an opening for a particular type position with a particular employment, but to just generally say we have openings for telecommuters or telework people. So that, though, would bring people in. You can have them fill out an interest form, and then you can begin screening them. Consider marketing efforts that are targeted at bringing more beneficiaries to your EN. Some ENs use mailings. A few use robocalls. Some post announcements on community or church bulletin boards. And some do presentations at Lions Club meetings or other types of community meetings. If an EN has a job order to fill positions in a specific geographic location, the beneficiary referral CD can be used to do a targeted mailing to the geographic area, encouraging beneficiaries to sign up to participate in the ticket program. The EN can then screen the beneficiaries for the available positions as a part of the process for developing the individual work plan. Explore other resources that might be used for information sharing. For example, the National Employment Network Association, blogs, job clubs, email listservs, websites, etc. Consider developing tools, best practices, processes, and partnerships, both informal and formal, that allow your EN to coordinate its efforts with other service providers, such as the state DR agency, independent living centers, state mental health agencies, American Job Centers, and other ENs. The goal of this type of coordination is to expand the pool of qualified ticket holder job applicants and share job leads. One EN active in 503 recruitment noted the importance of including your organization's name and address on all marketing materials, along with the name, title, phone number, and email address of your primary EN contact. Several ENs have developed customized marketing materials, such as flyers or brochures, that are used when approaching federal contractors about recruiting, interviewing, and hiring Social Security disability beneficiaries. One EN recommended including marketing information for employers on your organization's website as a recruitment tool and as an information source for 503 compliance. You may also want to consider providing an employer interest form on your website. These forms typically include information on what the EN does and how it can help employers that are interested in hiring individuals with disabilities. Employers that are interested in additional information are asked to complete the form and indicate the type of services and assistance they are seeking. Before referring beneficiaries to apply for openings with federal contractors, you will probably want to prepare them for Section 503 participation. The key to getting employers to view your EN as a viable source of qualified applicants is to only refer beneficiaries who meet the minimum qualifications of the job being sought. The first step is to have each beneficiary identify their key areas of interest, as well as their knowledge, skills, and abilities. When you have identified one or more beneficiaries to apply for a specific job or a number of jobs, next you will want to prepare any qualified ticket customers for the Section 503 application process. This may include discussing basic information on Section 503 and sharing the standard Section 503 forms that employers are required to use, such as the voluntary self-identification form. If you're working with beneficiaries who have no work experience, you may want to discuss the importance of work-related soft skills, such as arriving at work on time, good grooming, dressing, talking, and acting appropriately, asking questions for further clarification if a work assignment is confusing, and asking for leave in advance whenever possible. Consider ways to assist your ticket customers to prepare for interviews with federal contractors. Talk to them about the idea of voluntary self-disclosure as a person with a disability versus the right of non-disclosure. We really don't have time today to go into the issues surrounding self-disclosure. If you are interested in learning more about Section 503 and voluntary self-disclosure, you might want to listen to the two archived Section 503 Community of Practice forums that dealt with this topic. The archives of the April 2 and the July 9 COP forums are located on your Ticket to Work website in the Information Center under Events Archives. Several EINs have suggested creating a standard process for making and tracking referrals and applicants for jobs with federal contractors. These EINs typically maintain an ongoing list to reflect the applications submitted by each beneficiary, the date and outcome of each application submitted, the date hired, if applicable, and if not hired, any feedback received from the potential employers. The feedback from potential employers can be reviewed regularly to see if your EIN needs to do more to prepare beneficiaries to apply for jobs with federal contractors. Now I'm going to turn it back over to Marie for some closing comments. Marie?
Thank you, Sally. Well, okay, folks, that's it for today's presentation. We want to encourage you to join us for the next Section 503 Community of Practice, which will provide an overview of key websites that have been identified as good places to search for jobs and to post resumes. The October Community of Practice will highlight how to use the National Labor Exchange U.S. Jobs website. It will also include information on using state workforce job banks and two or three other websites listed on the awesome resource page under Job Banks and Job Posting Services, resources for service providers and employers. This resource was recently updated, expanded, and reposted to your Ticket to Work website on July 28, 2014. Please visit the Information Center and click on Section 503 in the left navigation and then on 503 Resources. The link to the Job Banks and the Job Posting Services resource is located just above the Assistive Technology Resources. The next Section 503 Community of Practice is scheduled for October 8th from 3 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. For additional information on how to take advantage of the new Section 503 rules to find employment opportunities for Social Security disability beneficiaries, visit the Your Ticket to Work website at yourtickettowork.com. Click on the Information Center and then on Events Archive. You will find all of AWSEM's 503 webinars archived under 503 Readiness Training. You will find all of the Section 503 Community of Practice presentations under 503 Community of Practice. Am I going too fast for you? Okay.
We are actually going through the Ticket to Work website as you talk and showing exactly where all this stuff is.
Excellent. Okay. Now, I want us to open the lines to let people from the audience ask questions and offer additional suggestions on activities that can be used to assist disability beneficiaries to take advantage of these job opportunities. So we're going to open the lines up for questions.
All right. Daryl, can you tell people how they can call in? And then we're also in between. We're going to do some chat room questions. So, Daryl, you want to explain to people how they can come in to ask a question or make a comment?
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register for a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a three-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. Once again, to register for a question, please press the 1-4 on your telephone.
And this is both questions, or if you have some additional ideas on some of the things about developing a 503 strategic plan, we're here to listen to you. All right. Is anybody calling in? Oh, let's take a chat question first. Jimmy Wackerboss is on the chat. Jimmy, what do you have for us?
Yeah, the first question came from David Romeo, and it was about the time of the federal, while you were going over the federal procurement data system, and he asked, how would someone find open positions and convince the company to hire a person with a disability?
Okay, yeah, we're talking about here is how to identify federal contractors. Again, we're suggesting that you go to the individual organization's website, learn more about that employer, and that's where you're going to find information on job openings. There's no information on any of these three websites about any job openings at these companies. You have to go to their website, learn about them, and see what they have in terms of types of jobs and whether they have any openings, or, as was mentioned, develop a relationship with them and have them maybe send you weekly or biweekly list of job openings. Okay? Marie, anything to add to that?
No, that covers it, Sally.
Okay. All right. Daryl, anybody calling in?
There are no questions at this time, but as a reminder, please press the 1-4 to register for a question or comment.
Okay, Jimmy?
Hey, this question came up while you were exploring SAM.gov from Janine Culver. Does the individual have to register, or are employees covered under the federal contractor we work for?
The SAM registration is organizational registration. But I believe that, you know, if you have your company's DUNS number, and since I don't have SAM registration, you would be able to go in probably using that. If we go back to the SAM website, there is a way to go into the SAM to go in as a SAM registrant. And obviously I can't do that. Up here at the top, username and password. You can go in that way, too. We did what would be called a public search. So since I think, you know, your company probably has a username and a password, and that's how you would find out if you can get more information, because what we can get on a public search is somewhat limited. SAM, to me, is only an indicator of who you might want to start researching and find more information about that organization. Anything to add to that, Marie?
No, I think you can start with SAM just because you have good access to SAM information, and then get more information. Take that information from SAM, get more information about the company and its federal contract work with the FPDS website.
Yeah, Marie and I, in looking at these websites, both definitely agree that the FPDS one is the one that you're going to find the most information, helpful information on. But you can cross-reference things on these websites and pull out as much information as you possibly can. Okay, Daryl, anybody calling in yet?
And there are no questions on the phone line at this time.
All right, we have one more chat question, I believe, too. Jimmy?
Okay, this one comes from Mary Lynn Revoir. If the federal contractor who has activity level needing to comply with Section 503 is located in one state and they subcontract to a vendor in another state, I understand the subcontractor vendor would need to comply also with Section 503. Therefore, an EN could approach the vendor if the vendor was located in a state the EN is seeking to hire someone. Is this correct?
Mary Lynn, hi. yes, that is correct. I think the only thing you need to look at is the size of the vendor's contract and the size of the vendor's workforce, because the same $10,000 general affirmative action requirements apply if they have $10,000 or more, and if they have $50,000 or more in award and 50 or more employees, the higher level, like the 7% aspirational goal of 7% of the workforce being people with disabilities, would apply. But absolutely, by way of a subcontractor, it's just, again, you have to look at the size of the contract subcontract. Okay? Jimmy, you got something else?
Okay. Gloria Freeney asked, sorry, I entered the conference in the middle. Where do you go to search for employers on the website?
Okay. Hopefully, what was the name of the person?
Gloria Freeney.
Gloria, hopefully you can download the PowerPoint, and you will see on slide, I'd have to go back and look for a minute, but the slide early on that has the three websites that we did the live searches on today, they are all listed. And if you need to know where the PowerPoint is right now, it's in the Information Center on the Your Ticket to Work website under Upcoming Events. And it will be moved probably next week to the Events Archive page of
Sally.
The Information Center. Slide Sally. 7 is where the three websites are located. Okay? Another question, Jimmy?
Okay. There had been a question. When do case management services start? And this is from...
Okay, I don't know. Case management services is not a part of this discussion. I mean, obviously, the idea of creating a tracking system for the people that you're referring for jobs is a type of case management. Okay, anything else?
That was it.
Operator, if there's anybody out there that has some other tips, you know, ways that they have approached federal contractors, information that they have found that resonates, that, you know, maybe when they're talking there's some particular thing they say that resonates, we'd love to hear from you.
As a reminder, to register for a question, please press the 1-4 on your telephone. And there appear to be no questions or comments on the phone line at this time.
Okay,
that's it for today's 503 Community of Practice Forum. We hope to see you on October the 8th. And thank you very much for joining us today. And thank you, Marie.
Thank you, Sally. It was a pleasure.
Okay.
Ladies and
Bye,
gentlemen.
Everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the webinar for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines.